Thankful for the marvelous grace of God.
Amen.
That's why we're all here.
That's right.
By the grace of God. It's a beautiful song. Bless my heart, bless my soul. I want to take just a second tonight to personally thank the church for your prayers. I've certainly felt the prayers in the passing of my mother. I know somebody prayed. God's given me peace. I know where she's at. And I've got that blessed hope. Thank God for the blessed hope. I'll tell you that blessed hope tonight ought to charge your battery if you've got it. That's right. I'm grateful for that tonight. Were it not for that blessed hope, I don't know what we would do. And I'm thankful. But I thank you for that. Thank you, the church, for serving and all your prayers and allowing us to use the church, and those of you that visited and called. It's just overwhelming. And I love you and appreciate you for it so much. If you would open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight. I'm going to read one verse of scripture out of Ephesians chapter number 5. And then I'm going to be jumping tonight to the book of Genesis chapter number 2. And try to bring you something tonight from the Word of God that God has burnt in my heart today. And I'm thankful for His Word, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad I got a book tonight that I can stand on and trust and know that it's the truth.
Amen.
I can always turn to it. I'm going to read verse number 25 tonight and then try to give you tonight what God's put upon my heart. Scripture says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I certainly want to call your attention tonight that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. My Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the singing tonight. I'm so grateful tonight for your love. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you so much for that. I'm so undeserving for that. God, you came searching for me. I wasn't looking for you, but you come to me. And I know what it is tonight to experience that grace. And I love you so much for it. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Surprised tonight to have my daughter, granddaughter, and her fiance with us tonight. I didn't expect it, but I'm glad to see them tonight. I want to look tonight at the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. And I did call your attention to that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But I want to go back tonight to the beginning. I want to go back to the book of Genesis chapter number 2 and just give this to you tonight the way God laid it upon my heart. It said, husbands, love your wives. I want to go back to the book of Genesis chapter number 2 in verse number 7. We find that the scripture said this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You notice in the scripture that it's all uppercase, the Lord God. That's the creator of everything. He's created. It said he formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He became a living soul. I'm going to look at some things tonight in the scripture. What Adam received, he received, or the man received from God. Our pastors talked about that God breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. And the man became a living soul. But we don't find his name mentioned until you get to verse number 19. The scripture said this about the man. That God created the man and he put him in a garden. And there was all kinds of trees and plants and everything, and he put him in the garden to keep it and dress it. But it goes further tonight. After all of that, the Lord God said in verse number 18 of chapter number 2, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." That's important tonight. I want you to grasp that in your hearts this evening. He said, "I'll make an helpmeet." He didn't say a slave. He didn't say somebody to beat around, whip around. Not to be the boss over. He said, "A helpmeet for him." And it said this, that out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now it's repeated again tonight in the scripture. And in a study in the Word of God, and I came across this, the Lord struck my heart. You can talk to a cow all the day long. All it'll do is moo back at you. You can talk to a goat, a dog, whatever. But it cannot correspond with that man at all. There is no communication between an animal and a human being. God created you and I completely different than an animal. You and I, the Bible said, we are created in the image of God. That is body, soul, and spirit. An animal, God created from the dust of the ground, from the ground, but he only has a body and a spirit. The book of Ecclesiastes said that when the animal dies, that the spirit of the beast goes down. It goes downward to the earth. It goes back to the dust from whence it came. And so there was no correspondence between Adam. That's why there was no helpmeet found for him at all. Nothing at all. So the Lord God, the next verse of scripture said this, that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And while he was in that deep sleep, the Almighty God operated on Adam and reached into his side and pulled out one rib from Adam's side. And he closed up that womb. And from that one bone that he took, that one rib, the Bible said this, that God made woman. He made a woman and created her. And after he created her, the scripture said this, that he brought her. He made the woman and brought her unto the man. Now, I know that sometimes my mind gets a little wild. I've done a lot of weddings down through the years. As a matter of fact, the very first wedding that I done, the lady was here the other night on visitation from my mother, and believe it or not, it had glue to it, and they're still stuck. That's been like 36 years ago. That's got to be a record. But God created the woman for the man.
That's right, sir.
And he brought her unto him. And I could only imagine when Adam looked at her, it had to be love at first sight. It was somebody that he could see that stood upright like him, was formed like him, shaped like him somewhat. He made them male and female is what the Bible said.
That's right.
We can't get confused about that. No confusion at all.
That's right.
This hour that we're living is nothing but confusion. And trying to deceive our children. But listen, God made Eve for man. And he brought her unto Adam. And Adam looked at her and said this right here. Said, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now notice verse number 24. It's a quote in the Old Testament that's mentioned several times in the New Testament. It said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." One flesh is what the scripture said. That word cleave simply means this, that they will be joined together. They'll be stuck together just like glue. Oh, listen, my friend, God created it and made it this way. I began to study the scripture, and I looked throughout the scripture, and I found many times in the book of Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 4, the Bible said this, that the Pharisees had came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were tempting him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made he them male and female," there's no confusion there, "and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be," look at this, "one flesh," is what he said. "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Wherefore that what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." I couldn't tell you how many times down through the years I've made that same quote at the end of a wedding ceremony. "What God hath put together, let no man put asunder." God created the woman for the man. The woman, according to Ephesians chapter number 5, is to be subject to the man. But I want you to hang with me, because God stirred my heart with something that I want to share with you this evening that I pray will be a blessing to every one of our hearts. God created the woman for the man so that the man would have somebody to communicate with. And oh, listen tonight. I'm grateful tonight that God made the woman, aren't you? Amen. If God didn't make the woman, we wouldn't be here tonight, would we? That's a fact. God created that. God created the woman, and Adam and Eve came together. They were joined together and became one flesh. Is that not what the Bible said about the church of the living God? He said this, that we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And I'm talking about the church tonight. I'm not talking about this sheetrock, the lumber it took to build it. I'm talking about those tonight that's born into the family of God. Amen. They're born in the family. Now, listen, Paul gives a litmus test in the very first part of this chapter that tells us about those that are not in the church. If you're saved and born again tonight, you're in the church of the living God. You are in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these are those that are not. "For this you know," verse number 5 of chapter number 5 of the book of Ephesians, "that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And he followed it up like this and said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." That's empty words. And listen, we got a lot of preaching like that today that's nothing but vain and empty. I'll tell you, we need to get back to the old-fashioned preaching of God's infallible word. I'm talking about just rear back and preach the word of God just like it does as we are tonight. We're all tonight sinners that are saved by the grace of God. I believe it was this morning that our Sunday school teacher, brother, you went by and talked about Adam and Eve, that they had sinned against God. When God brought Eve unto Adam, this was before the fall. This was before that they had sinned against God. And so Adam had instructed Eve, said, "Listen, God has put a tree in the midst of the garden." He said, "Don't eat of it. Don't eat of that tree, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." And after they ate of it, they saw that they were naked. And they were ashamed of that. And they heard the voice of the Lord as he walked through the garden, and he came to fellowship with Adam and to fellowship with Eve. But they had broken God's commandment and taken of the tree, and they ate of it. And so they were naked. The Bible said they hid themselves in the midst of the garden. And God said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I'm over here. God said, what have you done? Adam, what have you done? He said, the woman that thou gavest me, gave to me, and I did eat. You'll find this that Paul told us in the book of 1 Timothy, that it was Eve that committed the sin, and that Adam was the one that was not deceived. Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. That tells me tonight, dear friend, that Adam willingly, because he loved the woman that much, he loved Eve that much, that he was willing to die for her. No, my friend, there's no, listen. I believe tonight God give me a good woman. I love my wife. Soon this, the 10th of next month? No, of this month. We're in August already. The 10th of this month, 52 years that we've been together. We had many people say, oh, you'll never make it. She is 15. I just turned 18 when we got married. And said, oh, you'll never make, this will never. You just need to go get it to know. By the grace of God, we're still standing here tonight, and it'll soon be 52 years. I want you to know tonight that I love her with every fiber of my being. I mean that from the depths of my soul. And Adam loved Eve the same way, that he was willing to die for her. And the Bible told us in my text tonight, it said, husbands, love your wives. He's not talking about many wives. It's used plural because he's using it in the general sense of telling every one of us that are married tonight to love our wife. And we ought to love them tonight with every fiber of being in us. I would do anything in my power tonight to protect that woman that God gave me. I love her that much. When she's sick, I take care of her. When she's down, maybe operated on, I'll do the dishes, I'll clean up the house a little bit, I'll do this and that. I pitch in and I help and do what I can. Why, preacher? Because I love her. Why, preacher? Because Paul said this, that you and I believe, or maybe Peter it was that said this, that we are heirs together of the grace of life. My, what a walk it's been for 52 years. We've learned here just in the last few years that we'll be talking about something, and I said, well, the same thing was just on my mind. And then I might be talking about something. She said, you know, I was just thinking about that. We get a likeness about one another. And we start thinking alike. And the greatest thing is that we share our Lord Jesus Christ in this grace of life. We worship together. We pray together. We sing together. We walk together. She's my bride, and I love her tonight. And I'm grateful tonight that not only that, but I'm also a part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he gave himself for. I can talk to her, I can tell her anything. She can talk to me and tell me anything. There's nothing that's hidden from one another. We always say this to each other, what's mine is hers, and what's hers is mine. It's equal that way. I believe it ought to be like that. We share together. As one in the sight of God. In the sight of God, when God looks at us, he sees us as one flesh together, bound together. Two separate souls, but one flesh in that bond. Glory to God, I'm thankful tonight that we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can talk together one another like that. Listen, something that our pastor has drilled in our minds, and I'm grateful, I'm thankful for it, I'm gracious to my pastor tonight, that you and I tonight, as men and women, are the only one that can talk to God.
Amen.
Ain't no animal can talk to God, ain't no angel, but you and I. And boy, I'm thankful tonight for the times that I can get on my knees. Oh, when my heart's lonely. Oh, when I'm down and out. Or just somebody that I need to pray for, that I can get on my knees. And I'm confident tonight that God can hear our prayer tonight. And the only reason he can is through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8. The Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is that? What does it mean, preacher, by commended? That means that he showed it outwardly. He showed it publicly by giving his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that hung before the entire world and shed his blood on a cross. He done it openly, telling us that I love you so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Thank God for that tonight. He commended that love to you and I. He proved it. Listen, telling somebody you love them and showing it's two different things. Entirely two different things. Aren't you glad that God showed us he loved us? He proved it by giving his Son. I'm telling you tonight that talk is cheap. Some of you young ladies in here tonight, young teenagers, be careful what them boys say to you. Yeah, you be careful about them sweet little things that they talk. They're after one thing and you know it. Be careful tonight. Pray about somebody. Don't just jump into nothing. Be sure they're right with God. Be sure they're saved by the grace of God. And don't let it be some little thing coming down here because you won't marry them. And they say a prayer and say they got saved. And then they go back and live the same way they did before. Because they didn't get saved. They didn't get born in the family. I'm telling you, you get saved by the grace of God. I'll never forget that night. Never, never, never. I wasn't looking for God. He came looking for me. And when I got saved, he changed me totally.
Yes. Amen.
I am not the man tonight that I used to be. And my wife can bear witness to that. She got saved a year before I did. I drug her through misery for over a year. Went right to doing whatever I wanted to do. She threatened to leave me, and I come in one time on leave, and I run down to the altar and prayed and went back, and it wasn't long till I was rolling up another one. And all I got was a dose of religion and an excuse to keep her from leaving me. But all the next year I came back. All the next year I came back. She invited me to that night watch service, and boy, I'm glad I went. Before I ever got started down the highway, I was already under Holy Ghost conviction. I was trembling and shaking all over. I couldn't even hardly drive the car. I got lost in the backwoods somewhere trying to find the church and couldn't do it. Pulled up to a little old store, a little old mart, and a woman walked out. I said, ma'am, can you tell me, please, where Bell's Chapel Baptist Church is? And she said, just get in the car and follow me, and took me all the way to the front door. And I went in that night, and the preacher was preaching heaven sweet and hell hot. I know you've heard it, but I want you to know that I remember it until the day God takes me out of this world. That night I went in, and the preacher preached hellfire and brimstone. Jesus could come back at midnight, and if you're not saved, you'll be left behind. I couldn't wait for that invitation. And when he gave it, I ran down to the altar and fell on my face and cried out to a merciful God. Merciful. He showed me grace. He extended my life when he extended that grace and mercy and allowed me another opportunity to get right with him. Boy, I left there that night saved by his grace. I can't sing a lick, but I'm telling you, I was singing Amazing Grace to the top of my lungs, all at the same time throwing pot out the window this way and it out this way, an ounce here and an ounce there and another ounce over here. And then finally, the last was a little old nickel bag they called it then. And I reached under there, reminded of that, and pulled that out with a little old pipe and throwed it over in a culvert in a little old ditch. I've told you before, I can take you right to that little old bridge right now. It's still there. Right where I throwed it out. I'm telling you, God complete. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'm new in Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you're perfect? Absolutely not. I'm far from it. I'm a long ways, but I know one that is perfect. And when I do wrong, Our pastor has drilled it in our head, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what that does is restore our fellowship where we can talk together again. Nothing like talking to God. I was talking to him when I was mowing the yard the other day. I've been talking to him all day. I talked to him yesterday. I said, Lord, I need your help. I need your help, Lord. I can't make it without you. Listen, I can't live this life. I can't take the next breath without Jesus. He means everything to me. He's all to me. He's first, and my wife comes next. Husbands, love your wives. Listen to what the scripture says here in Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to try to finish tonight what God's put up on my heart. The Bible said this in verse number 26. He said that the husbands love your wives. In verse number 25, your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, that is, separate it, set it apart. Yep. We're set apart for Jesus.
That's right.
For him.
Amen.
Nobody else but for Jesus. I don't have to answer to you. I don't have to answer to nobody but Jesus. I'm sanctified in Jesus Christ. And then he said this right here, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Oh, let me tell you someday something about this Bible. It's alive. Hey, some of my family was here during my mother's funeral, and I'm glad that God gave us what he did. It was more like a hallelujah church meeting. I mean that with all my... They got to hear the gospel of the grace of God. And listen, the gospel, this book's alive. God may give them another chance, may give them another opportunity to get right with it. That's my prayer. This word will cleanse you. You can read it, brother, and I'm telling you, it's like a mirror.
Amen.
It'll look back at you and tell you what's wrong with you. Some of these little old, books, some of you women like these little love stories and about these men and about these women. That won't do nothing for you but feed the flesh. And this flesh is going to rot and go back to the dirt. Get in something tonight that lasts forever. That'll get inside of you and feed you and strengthen you. I'm telling you, I get strength from this book tonight. I believe I've got liberty tonight to say this. I prayed about it and I prayed about it. Some of you tonight, before I think, you're going to think I'm a nut. You're going to think I'm crazy. You're going to think, say, boy, that preacher's done gone and lost his mind. But I know because I was a witness. I buried my mother on Thursday. Friday, I had to run to the grocery store and get a few items and pick them up. I run through the grocery store, got a few things. Shelly's hooked on yogurt. And Lord, I tell you what, if we run low on peach and strawberry banana yogurt, and by the way, you ladies, it's your play. I've done memorize. I know what to buy. I know exactly in the store. I don't have to go wandering around to find it. I know exactly where to walk to buy that. I run in the store. She run out of it. Been out of it for over a day. Well, I tell you, I thought a heart attack was going to take place. I said, I got to get to the store. So I run down to the store. Run through, grabbed a few things, got this and that, got a few things, and loaded the buggy up and got out to the car. And I was loading everything in the trunk of the car. And there's a whisper in my ear. And it said this, just in a low voice, "There is no resurrection." I hadn't even told my wife about that, have a honey. Out of nowhere. Now you think I'm crazy, don't you? I know what I heard. My back was turned to everything. I was putting the groceries in the trunk of my car. And those words were so vivid in my ear that I had to turn a little bit just to see if there's somebody standing behind me. Nothing there. But I felt that, Brother Tom. I didn't have chills. Didn't have no goosebumps. Didn't do nothing at all for me, but just kind of made me feel empty a little bit inside. Finished loading my car and got in the car all the way to the house. I was thinking on that. I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't know that voice. I don't recognize that voice at all. That's new. It's a man's voice. Definitely a man. I recognized a man's voice." I went home and grabbed my Bible, Brother Tom. I flipped over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. Paul had to deal with the church at Corinth. There were some people that were preaching and teaching in that church, and they were saying that there is no resurrection. If you heard that tonight, what kind of hope would that give you? That's what they were spreading through the church. There is no resurrection. I hadn't just read that. I'm telling you the voice that I heard that spoke in my ear. Paul had to deal with that. Think about that. Our loved ones tonight. Just think how we'd have no hope at all if there's no resurrection. None whatsoever. Paul said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he raised up not, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ," look what he said, "are perished." They're perished. I went right to this and I got home. And then Paul said this right here, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." And then, boy, it jumped out at me that very next verse, verse number 20. "But now, is Christ risen. Glory to God. Risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. That's my anchor.
Amen.
I knew immediately that that was a voice of the devil. This preacher ain't crazy. I know what I heard. I know what I done. I ain't stupid. I can add 2 and 2 is 4. 6 and 6 is 12. 3 H's 24. I ain't stupid. So I had to do that to prove to I ain't stupid. I know what I heard. But now I know what the book says. It's anchored in my soul. And when we buried my mama, we planted her like a seed in the ground in hopes of a resurrection. Now I got to get back and finish my message tonight. I'll be done in just a minute, I promise. We're going to be presented to Christ as a glorious church, those of us that are saved, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. No blemish. And then the Lord said this, Paul said, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, I'm going to pause there for just a second. I cut up sometimes and I talk about my wife. I'll be telling somebody about something she done, and she'll come up to me. She said, now, honey, you know that when you're talking about me, you're talking about yourself, because we're as one. I can't argue with truth, Brother Tom. Brother Gene, I can't do it. Can I? Or Sister Gene. I can't do it. I can't argue with the truth. And he said this right here. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but look, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh, and of his bones. Don't that sound familiar? Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. We're one in Christ tonight. We're one body, many members, but one body. Diversity of gifts. I can't sing a lick at all. I can't sing. My wife says I do okay. She's hard hearing. God gave me one gift, and that's a big mouth to preach his word. I don't doubt the call to preach his word. I remember September 21st, 1981, right here on this side of the church. After a year and a half of running from God and causing misery in my family, we had no joy, did we, sweetie, for a year and a half? No joy. Lord took a joy out, sat in church like a knot on the log, because I was running from God. No way God called me to preach. I'm too backward, I'm too shy. But God put his hand on me and he called me. And I stood up and said, Preacher Lawson, God's called me to preach. He did. Okay, you can preach Wednesday night. That was on Sunday. Brother Golden, I was scared to death. I was a nervous wreck. I think about these young brothers over here, and I'm thankful God called these boys to preach. I'm grateful, but I know how they feel when they stand up here. And believe me, I was nervous tonight when I got up here. And I hope that never goes away. I want God to be in control. So we love our own flesh. That's why we stand in the mirror. That's why we put that, I hope you do anyway, that armpit stink away. I'm going to leave that thought alone. I had another, about to run a rabbit on that one. But I ain't going to do it. But we do, we pamper ourselves. And we walk through the store and said, man, that's a good looking shirt. I believe I'll buy that. I believe that'll look good on myself. And then wait for somebody to compliment you on the shirt and then you don't get it in. You thought, maybe I shouldn't have bought it. We nourish our body. We feed it. We take care of it. We cherish it. And that's the way we as husbands tonight should cherish and nourish our wife. I'm doing a little bit of pulpit counseling, ain't I? I've done a lot of that down through the years. Man, I could tell you some wild stories and phone calls I've had. Or to love our wives. Love them. We're as one in the sight of God. As one. As one. That's how God sees us. When he looks at my home, he sees me as the head of the house. I'm not completely bullheaded, am I, sweetie? Not totally. When it comes to something spiritual, I got to put my foot down. When it comes to something material or something about the world, we sit down and discuss it and talk about it. And then we make the decision together. Ah, preacher, you ain't nothing but henpecked. You're lying like a dog. I'm not henpecked, I'm a sweetie. Took a minute for y'all to get all that, didn't it? I'm going to tell you something tonight. We as the church, and I know we go through trials. Every one of us have our troubles. Everybody, I'm sure, in this building tonight is dealing with something in their life. Some of it may be catastrophic. Somebody, it might be just something a little bit, but sometimes that little bit can seem catastrophic. We're all dealing with it. But I'm going to tell you something. This ship is not going down. We're waiting to go up. God's going to take care. He's going to protect his church. And if you're the husband that you ought to be, you ought to protect your wife. Amen. Amen. But we're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some troubles. What did Jesus promise? He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end. My, what greater promise can there be than that tonight? He'll be with us till the end. Still waiting for the shout. I can't remember what old preacher had that put on his tombstone. Maybe today. Maybe today. Could be. You might be here tonight. You're lost without God and the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. I want to encourage you with every strength that I have to get saved tonight. Bible said today is the day of salvation. Don't wait and put it off. A devil will talk you out of it. Get saved tonight. You might be here tonight going through a valley and your life could be with your family, your children, or whatever. Bring it to Christ. It may be something secret in your heart that nobody knows about. Bring it to Jesus. He's a forgiving Savior. He's forgiving. Could be tonight that your home's about to fall apart. There's only one thing we can do. Well, I'm glad Preacher Lawson preached this a long time ago. He said, all we can do is give it to God. And there's no greater that we could ever give our problems to than give it to God. And let God work it out. Let God work it out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus loves you tonight. He loves you. He cares for you. He cares for you. You might be here lost without God this evening. Oh, I can't even express tonight how much He loves you. It's a love that's beyond reaching for. It's a love that comes from above. Come to Him tonight. You're going through a valley. Your heart's broken. You're in heartache or whatever. You got something in your life that you need to get rid of. Get rid of it tonight. Tonight. Right now. Even before we have the invitational song. Just come tonight. Just bring it to Him. And just lay it at the hands of God. Lay it at His feet. Say, God, I'm going to give this to You. This is the highest that I can go. This is above the supreme court of this world. This is the courts of God. Bring that to God, the Almighty God, and lay it at His feet and said, God, I'm going to give it to You. I can't handle it. I can't take it. I can't do it no more. I'm going to give it to You right now. Would you do it tonight? My Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. God, I preached what You put on my heart. You burnt that in my heart. You burnt that in my soul. Lord, I've been dealing with this for several days now. And oh God, I pray that You'd take Your word tonight. I know that it will prosper in the thing whereto You've sent it. And I know it'll bring forth fruit. I trust You with that. And Father, if there's anybody to it's in this building that needs to come forward. I pray that as soon as we have the invitation, they'll step out. Don't listen to the voice of the devil. Just step out and bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. All over the house. Sister Brooke's going to sing it tonight.
To Jesus,
would you come right now?
I surrender.
Come on, right now, step out. Come to Him tonight. Come to Him right now.
I freely
would you
give? I will ever love.
Yes, I'll love Him and trust Him.
And trust Him.
No greater we can trust Him. Stop hanging on to it. Stop clinging. Just bring it to Him right now. Would you?